Drew and George talk to people sometimes.
Yeah. Listen. Yo, you can.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, zoom, zoom.
You're doing an African wild man.
Listen.
No, that was like a Mazda commercial.
Oh, that was a Mazda commercial. Hello and welcome. It's Drew and George talk to people sometimes. That's George Basil.
That's George Brooks.
Close enough.
Good.
I am Drew Brooks, and we are a band of outsiders.
We are the band of gypsies. Welcome. Thank you for listening. This is such a treat to be here outside.
We're out in the wilderness.
Yep. Surrounded by all of you, looking at us bright-eyed, their mouths open. Thank you so much for coming, everyone. Give yourselves a round of applause.
We hear you.
Drew and I were just talking about reflection, weren't we?
Yes, we were talking about reflection. Sure.
Looking inward. Yeah, looking inward and projecting it outward.
Outward. It's like breathing.
It's also like sweating.
It's like,
isn't it? It's like perspiring.
Nah, that's not really looking inward.
Is it anything like growing a sideburn?
Nope. Nothing. And why would you grow just one?
Well, because sometimes you only need one. Have you ever gotten your teeth whitened?
I've tried those strips.
You are a silly little bitch.
Have you tried the strips?
No, man. I just smoke more cigarettes.
That's not whitening.
No?
But that would be a hell of an invention, right?
Yeah.
To have a vaporizer that whitens your teeth as you burn out.
Don't give it away.
Sorry. Damn it.
Now it's in
trademarked.
Now everybody's got that idea at the same time.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Congratulations.
No. Whitening dental hygiene. Let's talk about dental hygiene for a second.
I'm going to start flossing again.
You're going to start flossing again?
Big time.
That's what everybody says, man.
No, but some people do it.
Some people do it. Okay.
And
how often do you floss?
One time.
No, man, you can't just go with singles on that.
Your question was how often do you floss?
Yeah, and you just said one time.
One time. That's still my answer.
So there's food from like 1984 in your mouth.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely still have like baby food deposits somewhere in my gums.
Some Gerber in the back teeth.
That's my Gerber backs. I want my Gerber backs, Gerber backs.
So when was the last time you visited the dentist?
I try not to talk to him.
Okay.
He's after me.
He's looking for you.
Yeah, he's constantly like sending me dermatological bills, which I don't understand.
That's not cool.
That's not cool, man.
Do you think
you're
the
a
billing,
dentist, bro,
at a certain point is going to be tweeted at you? Like, yo, you owe me this dough.
Yeah, and you can like retweet it to your bank.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, give him the dough.
Give him the dough. Retweet.
The dentist needs my dermatology fees.
Retweet. You owe me $10.
Yeah, I haven't gone in a while, but you know what? I don't need to, dog. I'm pretty sure I have a pretty good understanding of my own mouth.
Oh, is that years of dentistry education talking?
Yeah, well, because I did an online course.
Oh, okay.
And they give you a really good overall understanding of everything from your incisors to your molars and back to your
Oh, you do have a sense of things. Wow.
Yeah. And I actually performed light oral hygiene surgery.
The laser light.
The light ones. Where I use lights only. Hot lights. And I can do a real...
iPhone flashlight on the teeth.
Oh, for
whitens
sure.
them. You don't charge anything.
It goes right to
my app.
Yeah. It's like Uber.
It's like Uber.
It's so easy. It's like Uber.
Oh, man.
This week's guest, man, episode 12 of America's First Top Model.
Oh, my gosh. Just top to tail is a good-looking chap.
Oh, boo, yeah. I mean,
yep. G'd up from the feet up.
Dude, that dude is crispy like a crunch bar.
Like a crunch bar dipped
in
chocolate twice.
His name's Chris Smith. Such a good friend and such an amazing talent and hilarious dude. He's you all around us would recognize him from television films. And also from Harvard Sailing Team.
Also from that great sketch group that Adam Lustig and Billy Scifuri.
Yep.
We've also had both of them on the show.
We've had now three of the nine.
Ooh, I can't wait to
Harvard
complete the set.
Team. And when we get that full set, dude, Burger King gonna blow up.
Burger King's gonna blow up?
Yeah, because then the little figurines come out after we meet all nine. George Talk to People Sometimes Harvard Sailing Team figurines,
which is gonna be really short. It's gonna be a short title.
Totally. All made of the finest Chinese plastics. And
with movable arms and ligaments.
Yep. And they'll be the funniest little fuckers.
Okay, so if you were to pick these three characters from Harvard Sailing Team, a really boss sketch outfit. They really do some great work. Check them out online. You can go to YouTube. You can check them out there on YouTube. They also have like a Twitter handle, I believe.
Totally.
All of these fellas have a Twitter handle. Check them out. They're really funny people. But what would you give them as weapons if they were action figures?
Good Lord.
Chris Smith, first and foremost, what
Chris
would you give
Smith
him as
a flower pot. I believe that fool could fling a flower pot.
Okay.
Because he's got a little baseball history.
Yeah, it's true. He could wing one.
Yeah. I'm just going to do him, and then we'll unveil what we think with each guest
from
Harvard Sailing.
I love it.
Cool.
Okay.
So listen to this episode.
Yeah.
You're going to love Chris Smith the way that we love Chris Smith.
Exciting. Listen up, I love it. Let's listen to it right now. Nigga, enjoy. Clutch fifth. Heat bust quick. You die, I laugh. Street justice.
When I set it off, I said it gone. Hey, how many times have you been to Miami?
14 times.
14 times.
No. I've been there more, but...
More than 14?
Yeah. But it'd be embarrassed if I said more than 14.
Do you have a connection to Miami? Have your grandparents?
Yeah, my wife is from Miami, and she's we go there and see her family twice a year or so, something like that.
You've spent so much money going to and from Miami. Mm-hmm. That's gotta be pretty.
It's an investment, though. It's an investment in the state of Florida. It's an investment in my own relationship with my wife and her family.
And it's an investment in Miami.
And it's an investment in Miami.
I've never been there because it feels too LeBron Jamesy.
You've never been there. So how would you know?
LeBron
James. It's a wonderful place.
It's amazing.
And LeBron James is just one man.
One great man. Wait, Miami, what's South Beach? Is that Miami?
Yep. South Beach is a part of Miami. It's like the most well-known part. It's what people think about when they think about Miami, I think.
Coastal, lovely.
It's right on the coast, and there's like shops and...
Everything's like brightly colored.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And what's South Beach? Yeah, it's like where people go to the beach. It's like a popular place for people to go to the beach.
Yeah, well...
Miami's huge, though. It's got a lot of districts and a lot of different crazy things going on.
What's your favorite
Dade
district?
Dade County.
I like where my wife's family's from, called Westchester. And it's there's more Cubans per capita, I think, than Cuba itself.
No shit.
Yes.
That's upstate Florida.
Wrong.
Nah.
Wrong.
Incorrect.
It's downstate.
It's in Miami. It's in Miami. It's like in greater Miami or whatever.
Where's Key West? What is it?
Key West is, I think, just the southernmost part of the United States, right? We're the southernmost part of Florida. It's like islands. It's like an island.
And you have
to take a long highway across a bunch of islands.
There's a 7-mile road that's just a bridge, right?
Oh, that might be the
incredible.
Scariest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. The only reason I know that is from True Lies, the movie, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Arnold.
Right.
Yeah, they blow it up in that movie.
Yeah, and there's like that bridge that they filmed on is running alongside, I think, the new bridge. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And then I actually went there after and I was like, True Lies. I remember driving on it and being like, wow.
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wait, there are two bridge now? One bridge, two bridge?
Well, there was an old bridge, and old bridge that broke down.
Old bridge got blown up.
Old bridge got blown down, so they had built now a new bridge for cars.
Now what a beautiful new bridge.
Have you been to the swamps? Have you seen a gator out there?
No, I haven't seen any gators out there. We usually go there and go to malls and stuff.
Cuban people scared of gators?
Cuban peeps scared of gators.
Cuban peeps.
No, the Cuban people aren't scared of anything.
That's true.
That's the truth.
I
definitely get that vibe when you're down there.
That they're not really scared of anything.
Fearless. They are
fearless
people.
Yeah. Dancers. They Cuban live culture. Life like no one's looking.
They dance like they're Cuban.
Yeah.
Have you or you and your wife ever been to Cuba?
No.
You've never
mispronounced it.
Yeah,
Cuba.
That's the most Anglo.
You've been down to Cuba.
Like a fish.
We haven't been down to Cuba because you know, her parent, her, I mean, she should be here on the podcast. It's been much more interesting. Just like a white guy from Long Island.
But. I think you're right. Can we pause this?
Yeah, let's get. Get yeah, ready. You're right.
She, her grandparents, they got booted from Cuba. They just got up and, like, they had to leave.
Oh, my God.
They had, like, this house, this business, and they just, like, left with a suitcase and, like.
They lost all their assets.
Yeah, and so they, you know, have a they hate Cuba. They hate socialism, or it's called their communism.
Yeah.
And they hate it, and they hate because they were kicked out of their home. Mm-hmm. So my wife, Rebecca, believes she wants to go to Cuba. She doesn't, I mean, but she would never do that to her grandparents because it would be, you know, I mean, disrespectful, I guess, or, you know, you'd have to ask her. But, you know, she has strong feelings about not going to Cuba. Out of respect for her grandparents.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. It's a very strange thing. I only attribute cigars and Fidel falling. Do you remember seeing that video of him falling down?
Where did he fall? Like off the podium?
Yeah, I think it was. That is a legendary video. He's like walking, and he doesn't really see the first step of this thing, and he's like saluting everybody, and then he just bails, and everybody like rushes to him.
Yeah.
Like he's been shot, you know?
Yeah, Fidel shot himself. That guy's old, man.
Mm. Did he die?
I don't think anybody actually knows.
Right. It's a mystery.
I think they just put him in the hospital. They put his body in a hospital, and they were just like, we hear beeps.
Yeah, yes. We're going to keep him beeping.
Right, right.
He's a beeping.
But I do believe Raul Castro is running the country.
His brother.
That's right.
Raul. Wow. Raul. And he's got the exact opposite facial hair as Fidel. He only smokes tiny little Virginia Slim cigarettes.
Mm.
And his collars always pop.
I don't think that's on the Wikipedia page, George.
No.
No.
Well, it's a damn good character.
I think that's interesting, though.
I'm taking him. He plays drums.
Virginia's.
The first jazz president of Cuba.
Yeah, president.
The president. You don't like communism, too?
I don't know. No. Somewhere I've been
I don't. This is.
You know, I mean, come on. We all, you know, it's a good idea.
I know.
But it seems to not work. Things work out.
Yeah.
It's always married to violence.
It's the whole, like, corruption, immediate corruption that's so bad, right? I mean,
and
come on.
And strong-arming and shit, yeah.
I just seen that, like, I saw something about that Trumbo guy, the screenwriter who was on a blacklist, and knowing about the blacklist, and knowing that you immediately, even if you're just back, what was it, the 30s or 40s? 40s, I think.
Mm.
Or communism. There was like a big 50s, scare.
Yeah,
50s, yeah, sorry.
50s or 60s?
70s, 70s is definitely 80s, 90s, the answer.
All the best hits of the communist era.
But it blows my mind that you could just, somebody could be like, I think he's a communist, and then you're just terrible.
Yeah.
Mm. You're just like a person that immediately everybody's like, okay, well, we won't associate with
and
that
the
person.
The government's behind them. Like the government's pulling you up in front of like House speaking.
Yeah, and Burt Reynolds didn't clap that time at the Oscars.
For real? Burt didn't clap. No, but he loves clap.
That's what I remember. I don't really know too much about that era.
He just like stoically sat and waited.
Yeah, because. Yeah, I don't know.
Whew.
Yeah, Joe McCarthy, he was crazy. He wanted to take down all the Reds.
Yep. Oh, the Red Scare.
There was a Red Scare.
We're
was
ready scare. To be scared, aren't we? Like humans in power are always ready to be scared. Like Y2K, whatever. It's always like a fear-based, not fear in the sense of like, oh no, we're all going to perish, but not in the greater scheme, but little shit like communist Hollywood. So.
Ridiculous.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess the terrorism is the new scare, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's a good one.
I don't know.
Yeah. The Cold War. I mean, it was just like the Cold War. We were so scared of Russia. And who wouldn't be? It's so big.
Totally. It's so big
it really
and red.
Is big. It's so big and red.
On every map, it's
and
huge.
It affected us, I think, big time back then. And that was why guys like Joe McCarthy probably could get away with coming in and having support from people to be like, to label people communists and just blacklist them.
It's like you were saying earlier, you already knew what to think about a video on the internet because you'd read an article about it.
Right.
And it's the same type of like, not brainwashing, but like brain massaging, where I had a teacher that had to do, I think they lived on the East Coast, or maybe they lived in Florida, possibly. And when the whole Russian Cold War shit was happening and they had missiles in Cuba pointed, whatever. The Cold War, what is that called? The missile crisis?
Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were doing air raid drills with kids in schools where the air raid would start and all the kids and teachers go into bomb shelters. And that was like how we had fire.
I remember that, yeah.
Fire right, right. Drills.
Like that's gonna sit there for the rest of your life
yes.
as you develop into mm-hmm. an adult. That's just there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However meaningless it turned out to be, like that's still, you're gonna remember that feeling of like, oh, right, the impending doom.
Yeah, I just remember growing up and just picturing two world leaders with their hand real close to a button
yeah.
and just being like, you, me, you know, like that just was kind of what I thought of it. But I was like, how? And it did feel like they were just being like, they were coming back in like that Bugs Bunny cartoons when every time they'd come with a gun, then the guy would bring a cannon and the guy would bring, you know yeah. what I mean? It was, mm-hmm. they felt like that kind of competition. It was so strange.
Bugs Bunny's hilarious. Yeah, but huge, Brooks.
Yeah. Huge.
Just, he's great.
Just
so likable.
I can listen to classical music and I give all the credit for
yeah.
that to all Bugs Bunny.
Looney Tunes.
Yeah, all yeah. Looney Tunes, Woody totally. Woodpecker, all of them used it as that either backdrop. Oh God, the cops, dude.
The cops are coming for you again, George.
For me again?
Mm. Again.
See,
yeah.
this is the fear. Fear-based societies.
Any siren equals fear.
So I'm watching a car chase on the television 2 nights ago, and it's a full car chase, and then I hear the helicopters outside of my window, and then it goes coming through Atwater Village, and I'm like,
whoa,
this thing is happening right here, and I see the spotlight going by my house, and I was
outside,
like, and I took video of it on the television just because I was like, this is crazy. I should have ran outside. Instead, I took video of the television.
Yeah, you should have picked
this
up.
That's right down the street.
This is right on the street.
I just get on the ground. Yeah, just get on the ground, George.
Yeah, I should just lay down. Yeah. Take a pause.
Oh, no. George, you're always in trouble, right? With the law?
Never.
No. He seems to skate on by.
Spray paint on anything I want. No one tells.
No one tells. Just you.
No one tells. Just
oh, my God.
Have you been in jail?
With the law?
Anytime.
I have, actually.
Yeah, there we go.
That seems incredibly odd to me.
Well, I was a kid, you know, I was a little guy at a party, and I was not ever good at running away. Like, I would just run right to, like, whatever direction I ran was where the other cop was standing.
Would just, like, step out in front of you, like, whoa.
So bad. But anyway, I put, like, a beer bottle down, and the guy was just like, hey, you. And instead of running, which
you're
is
like,
what
yeah.
all of my peers did, I was like, yeah, I wanted, yeah.
So you wanted to figure
I
it out.
Turned it around. I was like, I can figure this out. He's like, that's yours. Public intoxication brought him up. Got brought home. My mom to like it was like you know late at night. My mom was like,
the worst.
Big trouble. But
what was the backlash to that? What was the aftermath? Just grounded.
No, it was a stern talking to. I was very dramatic when I was a child, so that was all I kind of needed. I think I did get grounded or something,
yeah.
But I had to go to court and
oh god,
but like typical privileged child
underage
I had a uncle who was a lawyer who had yeah. a buddy who went to court with me, and my parents knew the judge.
<It's> like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was like, his son was friends with my brother. And
it was
so
just a hangout.
He like basically like, hello, Chris, like, did you learn your lesson? Like, you won't do something like this again. I see you're taking it seriously. You have a lawyer. And I was like, yes, I was so, and I was, I felt really, I had a real fear of authority. Still
absolutely.
Do, I think, but less so. But really, I was like, I was horrified, and just got a, you know, he was like, all right. So I can't remember if I just got, you know, obviously let off or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't want to, like, with your lawyer next to you, be like, I do not recall the events.
I plead the Nick. That's not a word, Chris.
The next.
That was pretty much the only real run-in with the law. Like, in terms of, like, what you had to do for it or anything.
Well, one time I
shot a man in the chest.
Yeah.
Double barrel shotgun.
Got off. I'm here to talk about it.
I one time, for realsies, I was even younger than that. Me and some friends, Morgan and I forget TJ, And we had stink bombs, which are the little
oil
glass oil
that you crack on the ground.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, those are dirty.
Those were bad. Those were bad.
Those were terrible.
And we went around, and I just was. Morgan was, you know, he was smashing. We would go into private businesses, stores, like, you know, stores. We'd walk around, and throw them on the ground and run out. And people's houses, like, knock on the door and just throw them in the house. And a cop came up to us and he was like, you know, three kids are going around
stink bombing.
You know anything about that? And, like, we were like, no. And I felt so guilty.
You stink bombed him right in the face.
No, I it was weird. I asked him for a ride home. I was like, can I get a ride home? Because I wanted to show how...
That's psychologically really interesting. Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, officer. Hey, listen, I'm kind of far from my home. He was like, I'm not your mom. Like, it was weird. It was weird.
This is how unguilty I am. And you put one in your mouth and crush it.
Now give me a ride home. You were never exposed.
No, I had to, Morgan got in more trouble than I did, but I had to talk to the principal because I think somebody called our school and that's how we were disciplined by our principal.
Through the school, yeah.
Wow. Do you grow up in a smaller area? Was it like you said Long Island,
Long Island,
right?
Yeah, suburb. Yeah.
Okay.
40-some-odd thousand. It was like a suburb.
Yeah.
How big high school graduating class, you remember?
2000 something. Oh. I went to a private, all boys private school.
Mm. 2000. That's a.
It was big, I think. Yeah. Right?
I think so. I think mine was like 700.
That's big, yeah.
In the public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reaching into the thousands. All boys, I went to a couple of private schools like that. There was more.
More jerking off there than any other
place. Than any other place on the earth. On the earth, that is the jerk off capital.
Semen
for all the
flows. Yes, semen it does. Flows,
they should power the school by semen. I really agree. But there was also so much crime. I just couldn't believe how like mischievous all those kids were in comparison. Like,
where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New England, but I moved around a bunch. But I grew up in Boston, and one of the private schools was outside of Boston. And I just remember it was like in this area called Newton, just like this really nice suburb.
Hold on, Newton.
Newton. Like, yeah.
Massacres.
No,
Newtown.
Newtown. Yeah.
Newtown.
Because it's all new over there. The 13 original colonies.
Ah,
guys.
They pop new right in front of there.
Franklin's Rock.
And there was just a lot of like. I just remember like they could get away with more, and I don't know if it was because it was like they just were always away from their parents, so they didn't feel the fear of something like that.
Testing their limits, and there were no limits. There are people who have no limits. When they try to test their limits, they come up against nothing because there are no limits.
No resistance.
They could do because it's all so privileged.
Yeah.
Totally. I had kids who were heavily into drugs, and I don't know if that's any different than any other high school, but
I don't know.
There seems to be a layer of protection, I think, with privilege that maybe other kids, like in medium to lower income places, public schools specifically, wouldn't have. You know, like if I get caught with acid in a public school again. Selling it to kids, they're, I think, much more willing to like put me in jail, administer all these hardcore disciplines to me. Whereas a kid that like maybe not, I would say in a more affluent environment would kind of be like, don't do that, idiot. What are you doing? Look around. You have all access to everything you need. Mm. Don't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Whereas someone that sort of fits that role or that stereotypical. Mm.
I just feel like a lot of I went to a boarding school and I was a day kid, so I would go home at the end of the day and everybody else would stay there. And I just felt like everybody who stayed there was like, well, my parents aren't here. And those are the only people I'm actually afraid of.
Yeah,
like
they're like soulless beings.
Right. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and so you feel like you're almost, it's like, I don't know, like being a expatriate.
Were your parents zombies?
Yes, yes.
Zombie cowgirl, zombie cowboy.
I had to go home at night and feed the zombies.
I was really scared. I was legitimate. I had to go home and there were zombies.
Every night, kiss my zombie mommy goodnight. Were your parents home a lot?
Yeah, totally. My dad was he traveled a bit, and my mom was always home most of the time.
He traveled for work.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a big family? Did you have like a
three brothers?
Three brothers. Wow.
God damn. Can you imagine?
I can't. So I would be so beat up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Four boys running around a house. It just seems like every corner.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm one of the three.
So six boys in one home.
I don't think you understand.
17 little boys. Seaman Rivers.
It was just the 17 of us boys.
Just the 17 of us. Three. And you are middle?
I was the middle one, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is there a middle child syndrome?
Got it. I mean, yes. I mean, even like my most like stealth ability to deny my own like neediness is sort of worn away by the obvious fact that I just want so badly to be liked. I mean, it's just so obvious to myself and everyone around me. I mean, even just accepting this invitation to a podcast is an indictment of my own.
I know, and you brought us flowers.
Yeah, look at all this stuff. It makes us walk.
No, I used to pose for pictures. You look at old pictures of me, and my trademark thing was this. I would go like...
For the listeners, he's like shotgun shooting one hand. And like tiddlywink and one eye closed and a big $1 million smile.
Exactly. Like it. If you look at old pictures, that was like my trademark, and I've since thought about it at length. And I've realized that I wanted to express myself, but I had no other means to express myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't creative in expressing myself yet or able to fully, I knew I didn't want to just smile. Like, yeah. I knew that. I knew I didn't.
That's not going to be my thing.
I wanted to give more.
I've got more.
Different, you know? So that's me.
So when was the point you realized, oh, I want to give more? How do I give more? And where did that come from? Like, where did the performing come from?
Yeah, performing. My aunt had a little children's theater company that's still going today. Just celebrated 25 years.
No kidding.
Awesome.
Yeah, weird. It's called Time to Shine. It's in Long Island. And her name's Kathy Smith. And she put us all up on stage and, awesome. You know, encouraged us to play all these different theater games. And we did shows. And I think that was sort of a first outlet. That's but you know what was a real outlet for me was sports. Like, and what I realized that I got out of sports different than other people who were perhaps more interested in the competition and the physical abilities and all that stuff was like, I loved the drama of sports. I loved crying when we lost and being really happy.
I feel the same way.
You know what I mean?
I was never really into the competition. I wouldn't like be like, I'm going to get killed out there, but it's worth it. I just looked at it as like the ups and downs and the highs and lows and underdogs beating the rival. Yeah,
and
I love
characters.
That. Oh my God.
Like scary, this kid Mike Glennon when we were kids would throw fastballs faster than we would could see the ball.
Awesome.
And you know, I would just like be so, he was this like elevated figure in my mind who could just throw the ball really, really hard. And it was it was like that's what I liked about sports. I liked being in that environment where things were heightened.
Yeah. And it is also heightened.
That's perfect character because Mike Glennon was probably a dipshit the rest of the time. Am I right?
I don't know. No,
okay, I don't either. That's mean of me.
He was actually a really nice kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, super fun and just regular, but he threw a ball really fast and he was like he developed quicker, he like reached puberty quicker and just threw the ball really super fast.
Yeah. But my thing, like if for example, a guy like Mike Glennon in school or outside of the actual sport of baseball is kind of like not all there or not very personable or doesn't have a lot of the, you know, skills or charms as, say, the three of us do. But then the guy gets on a mound and he starts throwing a ball and then...
Unreal.
That is pure character.
Well, like, that might be true for some people. I don't think that's necessarily a general rule. That kid was actually a really cool guy. And I understand the need to want to think that. I think that's something we want to think.
Yeah.
Like
dramatic.
I would really like to think that Justin Verlander or like Clayton Kershaw is like a dummy I think we want to minimize his
maxi pad
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's easier for me to process it because they're already amazing. They're a hero in my eyes for pitching 101 mile an hour fastball. That's already amazing to me.
Right, right.
And so I have to like balance it out in my brain and be like, well, clearly he beats his wife because that would only make the most sense.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's like and it really, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we're just like LeBron. It's like the whole... Like, LeBron James is a jerk.
That's
Everyone
a perfect example. Yeah.
It is. That's a really good example.
Because he, like, gets on the court. He makes people look like children. Yeah. He makes other grown men look silly. And so it's so easy for us to be like, oh, but he's, like, bad at PR. Like, he made a bad announcement. He's mean to the city of Cleveland. He's a team player. He doesn't show up in the clutch. Like, all these, we just, like, want anything we can do to take him down a notch so that we can reckon with the fact that he's just so exceptional at this sport.
It's the brain's rationalization of it all. Yeah.
He's really got a one-dimensional greatness, and that's athletically. But we have to compensate for it, chop him up in every other way.
Right, right.
No, Clayton Kershaw I hang out with a lot.
Oh, yeah? Nice guy.
Nice guy doesn't beat his wife?
See him. He does beat his wife.
Oh, but like in a good way.
Yes. Awesome. They beat each other.
Oh,
both
so
amateur
cute.
Boxers.
Really?
Yes. She better than he.
Oh, wow.
So while he's really good at baseball pitches... She's really
better
good.
At him than at punching. Face punching.
Wow.
At Facebook punching.
So love you Facebook. Love the drama of sports. Does that bleed into like sports movies? Do you love sports movies?
No, I don't get crazy about sports. Not really. I mean,
no. It has to be like
Sandlot was great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't single out sports movies. I like sports. I love watching sports play out in reality, and when dramatic things happen in sports, I really, really like that. I also like watching sports for the characters, you know what I mean? I love getting into, you know, the different, you know, personalities and their backstories and thinking about what they're like and seeing, you know, little snippets of them. You know what I love is when...
They do the two-camera shit?
No, you know what I love is when I watch the Mets a lot, so David Wright, like, gets a hit, gets on first base, whatever. And if they're playing the Braves, they get on first base, and Freddie Freeman's playing first base. And Freddie gives him a little, like, tap on the thigh, like, hey, how's it going? And they have a little quick exchange. I love seeing that. Mm-hmm. Like, you just want to see those heightened figures behave like, I don't know, like, talk to each other. Yeah. Like, you know, it's...
It's really interesting to see that. I noticed that when you were watching the World Cup, you George was watching the World Cup, and he was watching Greece play, and he was lip reading a lot of the Greek players and being like, oh, he just said this, he just said that. And it was way more interesting to me hearing that commentary and being like, he said this or he said that, than almost, even though that was a very dramatic game. That was you literally almost pulled your hair completely out of your head.
That was, yeah. Costa Rica. Wonderful country.
Yeah.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Is their
small country.
Motto kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I would change that to? Pura verga. You know what that means?
What, George?
Pure dick. I think that's what it means. I don't know. It might mean pure Wednesday.
Listeners, get back at us.
That's not what I meant. Nothing else.
I meant something meaner. Those little, like, interesting moments. I like seeing, like, if you go to... a Kings game or whatever, and they have those interstitial videos where it's like the players two camera just being like, because it's a different stress than they're used to.
Yes. Regular M&Ms or peanut M&Ms?
Yeah.
I have to go with peanut.
Yeah.
They're so it's so basic.
It's in between who knows what they have to do for the day.
Right.
It's a really weird, we're used to that kind of a stress.
Sure,
being on camera.
Sure.
But they're
right.
They're not aware of cameras when they're doing that.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking funny.
The NBA Cares commercials where the guys get on they talk about, like, they're like, looking out for kids. You really get something back when you work through the community because, like, they're being told, obviously being told to speak in full sentences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, working with the kids is really good because you can feel good about yourself and it just feels good to, and I'm not trying to, it's just funny watching exactly what you're saying, people who are not used to being in the camera and speaking full, complete sort of thoughts.
Camera delivery is lame and weird. And we know how to do it because we're pretty lame and weird.
Yes.
Those guys don't have to do that. Right. Like, LaDainian Tomlinson is the one that comes to mind for me when he was an all-pro running back in the NFL. And like, I remember seeing him in an interview, or maybe just post game press conference. And I felt really bad for the kid. And then when I looked into it, I realized that they had been trying for a long time in college to get him ready for like press junket stuff. And it just couldn't happen.
Right. I'd watch an entire documentary about people trying to teach pro athletes in high school and college to talk to camera and to like do these press conferences. Because I see it, especially early on, what you're talking about with these prospects and stuff like that, you see them and they're really struggling with it. And even now, like at post-NBA games, it's just wild seeing them be like, well, it's like there's stiff competition out there. And they try to be like, I'm just going to say all of these buzzwords over and over again until I get out of this situation.
It's that's why the sports cliche exists, I think. Like all of the, the interview cliches. Because it's just athletes that are not trained to be talking to camera, to a reporter. It's just ways out.
Yeah.
So I ask you about like, what happened there? Why didn't your other teammate back you up on that? That sucks, right? And you gotta be like, well, we all try.
Yeah.
We're all doing our best. I trust him. He trusts me. Can I go?
Right.
Because I can't say anything.
It's like a book report. It's like a tiny little book report. And you see it now where there are like these memes of like Chris Bosh and stuff like that making fun of them behind him. Because they both like are like looking like he's presenting his homework. So they have to like make fun of him behind
him.
That's
exactly what it is,
It's really wild.
Book report time.
The guy I like watching, and I'm a Jets fan, but I love watching Bill Belichick give interviews.
Yeah.
I just think he's the best.
He's famous.
I used to hate him, but it's just because I feel like I was just jealous or something of like how he just does not care, and he just like he says things. You know, he's just one of those guys you like. Watching him deflect these stupid questions that are like he'll never tell you an answer to, like
answers like you're an idiot.
Yeah, he does,
and he's right. Like he's not going to give you. Right. I mean, they're known for being secretive. That entire franchise is known for its secrecy and stuff. And he's not going to fucking be the one that gives you a taste. It's like
Popovich is good too. Popovich's interviews are great. I feel
Popovich has rules.
He does? Like, that he says to people, like, these are my rules?
You get two questions for Pop.
Right.
And that's it. Really? And one of them or both of them can just be like, that's stupid. Go. No, not gonna. Next question.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's like, well, that's your fucking take.
Ugh,
disappointed. That's how do you feel disappointed?
Pretty bad. Or, next question.
Yeah, we played bad out there.
Yeah,
you know,
we lost.
We lost.
Today we lost.
Were you there? Did you watch? We lost.
Oh, my gosh.
Jets, sorry.
No, go, please.
I'm going to ride this out.
Yeah, it's good.
Jets fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mets fan.
Yeah.
Not Yankees fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know Yankees fan.
My dad and my brother Steve are Yankees fans, but me and my brother Tim became Mets fans, I don't know.
What? Out of just
Darryl Strawberry, probably.
Yes. Tim older or Tim younger?
Tim younger.
So middle and younger go Mets.
Go Mets, yeah.
Why run a wedge like that through your entire family?
Darryl Strawberry is to blame, I would say. Darryl Strawberry and Gary Carter, probably.
Ooh, Gary Carter was pretty dope.
Yeah.
He was a catcher?
Yep.
Mets.
I have a weird sympathy for Mets and Cubs fans. I grew up...
You're a Bo Sox fan.
I'm a Bo Sox fan. And I'm currently reaping the benefits of that, right?
I don't know what I would do if the Mets won the World Series. I would feel so sad, I think.
I think so. Like,
it happens.
What the fuck am I going to look forward to now?
Yeah.
What do I have to... wouldn't feel right.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing.
But you're feeling good?
Don't feel good. I feel the opposite of good. I grew up being like, we'll never be good.
Right.
And when I left, it's when I left that area, they got really good.
Mm.
Like, really good. That's when the whole Moneyball thing happened or whatever, and I was just like, well. And I felt, honestly, like I wasn't really a part of it. Like, I didn't, like, so it was very, I felt like I grew up in a different era.
Really?
Yeah. But... It's interesting.
How did you feel when they came back from three down to beat the Yankees in 2004?
Incredible. I mean, I watched...
But like, what was that feeling like as a fan?
Miracle.
I just want to know.
Miracle.
Were you just so elated when that was happening or
I was more in disbelief than anything else.
Really?
Through the whole thing, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This isn't happening. This isn't happening. Honestly, I grew up just expecting disappointment.
Mm.
Just being like, eventually they'll fuck it up. So, like, for me, it's not like... my God, they're going to do it. Everybody's like, get together.
Right,
they're
right, right.
Never a feeling like that. It was always like, they're going to fuck it up. Give them a chance.
It was. That's what Jeter was saying. He goes, don't worry, the curse. He was like walking up and down. That's what they said.
And then nothing.
Have
and
you
curse bit his ass.
Have you been to a lot of Mets games?
I would go to Citi Field every now and again.
Yeah.
I always try and go when they're out here. I went to one when they were at Angels, where they play the Angels.
Yeah, that's how I see the Sox is yeah. when they play the Angels. Yeah. I was just watching Jon Stewart talk about the Mets, and he's just like, he talks about going to see the last remaining games and how it's like a ghost town, and so you have your run of the whole, you know, stadium, right. and he like takes his kids, and he's just like, we own this place. We own it.
That's true.
It is crazy.
I've given up on them this season, I yeah. think. I stopped. I always start the season. I watch almost every game if I can. But then I'll slowly peter off once they go. They're like nine
out
games.
Out of contention.
Well, they're like nine games below 500, and I'm like getting frustrated. So it's like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the year.
Are you feeling the sort of World Cup fever, as they say?
The disappointment. We lost. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was heavy duty.
I don't know when this podcast comes out. Does it come out before
2015?
Okay,
before the next. The
does
next
it come out before?
Year.
Does it come out a couple days ago?
Yeah,
we would be giving something away.
We would be.
Shit, do not listen. This is a ton of spoiler alerts in this podcast from a month ago. This will come out before next World Cup at 2020, 2018.
Mm.
Do you know where the next two are going to be?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, one's going to be in. Qatar.
That's amazing.
That's 2022.
Russia's next?
Russia's next.
And then Qatar.
Qatar. Can we go to Russia?
Sure.
I will.
I don't really have a desire, but I mean, it probably would be a fun trip. You know, you guys seem like great companions.
Good guys to travel with.
Oh, my God.
Rangers fan?
Yes, I was.
Nice.
Was.
That's a great year.
I fell off. I mean, even when they were in the... I watched the Stanley Cup, but I didn't feel any real connection.
Through the playoffs.
Yeah. Although I don't like watching LA teams win. I don't know why.
Not even the Kings?
I know. I don't like the Kings.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a sort of hockey fan elitism that bothers me.
How so?
I don't like hockey fans being like, especially with the World Cup, they were like, oh... They just fall over, like they flop. Like if hockey guys get hit, and they
there's that whole thing.
It's a different sport. You have to. I think you have to sell a fall sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In order to maintain possession of the ball, which is very important.
Fouls are happening. Fouls and penalties happen all the time in every game.
Right.
By every player to every player. Only some of them get called, and some of those are because of flops. They have to be.
It's part dance. It's part drama.
It's very interesting.
No, I don't.
It's drama.
But I don't like these. I just, it irks me sometimes.
The silly comparisons there. Because it is a different sport, and it is, the rules are different. You can like sock dudes in hockey. You can like...
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I think hockey players are the toughest breed of athlete, honestly.
Incredible.
They have a wide range of skills. They play on they play their sports
on
skates.
On ice. They're
they play
slipping
their sport
around.
On ice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, crazy. How can we make this more difficult?
And it happens so fast, and it's such a high-intensity sport that I think that kind of lends itself to people being like... And then it doesn't get any respect. Nobody respect. And I think that lends it to like they have like a hockey fans have like a bit of a chip on their shoulder because their sport doesn't get the respect it deserves, which I do think that's true. But I also think it's I don't like the elitism.
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny. That's
on that note, what do you got coming up, man? You got any plugs?
Mm-hmm.
Harvard Sailing Team is
headlining. So we're on the Harvard Sailing Team.
Yeah. We're on it now, by the way.
Which, by the way, incredible. Very funny. I saw you perform at the Improv, I think, before I met you.
Uh-huh.
And amazing.
The Improv?
I think it was the Improv. Is that right?
It was the Improv. Yeah, it was when we were doing the what was that show?
Yep.
Which is a weird venue, I guess.
Totally weird.
Yeah, but it was, you guys killed me.
So fun.
So good.
Cool, thanks. Yeah. We
Yeah, we're gonna. We have some videos coming out soon and some shows.
Above awesome. Average.
Yeah, we work with Above Average sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do a video with you, I think.
Yes, the St. Peter.
St. Peter.
Are you gonna be? You're gonna be the guy
Gaston?
From Gaston.
That's Beauty and the Beast.
So fun.
Gotta look at that script.
I do too. We'll both look at it.
That's so funny.
That's gonna be a fun series.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Where are the HST vids coming out on? Just on YouTube and your own site?
They'll get put on our own site, or we'll be tweeting about it. Okay. It's at HST Sketch Comedy, I think, is our Twitter handle. I'm not sure.
Awesome.
At HST Sketch Comedy. What's yours? Do you have one?
At Smith Chris, although I do not recommend myself as a follow.
Now you're going to get a bunch just because you said
really
that.
I really don't.
Don't
but,
follow.
At your own follow, at your own peril. Hang on, let me confirm this.
Yeah.
HST.
Another
yeah, at HST Sketch Comedy.
That's nice. A
one. You were right.
You did it.
I did it.
Don't put your phone back in that puddle of iced coffee.
Yes, yeah. I've made that mistake twice, I think.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean,
we could. We have a few minutes. Let's get into religion.
Oh yeah.
Or yeah. Or favorite way to like bolt into concrete. Epoxy or lag bolts.
I'm just gonna slowly fade out now.
Yeah, I know.
No, well, be sure to check out Harvard Sailing Team. And thanks so much for
having me.
It was awesome. Me quick, hop off, pop off, ruck on some street shit.
Thank you for listening to Drew and George Talk to People Sometimes. That's tight.